Okay. Greetings, everyone. I'm Grace from PwC, and I'm chairing today's session on behalf of Michael Playford, who sent his apologies. So the topic of this session is comparing software options for actuaries, and presenting today is Hugh Miller. Hugh Miller is an actuary at Taylor Fry, where he has worked for the past 9 years. During that time, he has been involved in a wide variety of projects across general insurance and analytics. Recently, he has been a technical lead on Taylor Fry's work with the New Zealand government, producing lifetime cost estimates across their welfare system. An active researcher, Hugh was awarded a PhD statistics in 2010, and his recent actuarial research projects include assumption setting for inflation and discount rates, hybrid modeling techniques, and improving GLM methodology for pricing and reserving. Just some quick reminders before the session, the presentation by Hugh. The session will run for about 30 minutes with 10 minutes at the end for questions and answers. And please remember to fill in your presenter's feedback survey through GIS Connect. Please join me in welcoming Hugh.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for showing up. It's always nice to see people rather than see chairs. So before I start, I've asked for this session not to be recorded, not because it's particularly controversial, but just in case I accidentally say something silly like SaaS is greedy and expensive, they won't come and try and shoot me down. A couple of other caveats. I've compared a whole bunch of different software options that I'll present today. No doubt I've missed out on your favourite option. In that case, you should tell me afterwards so I can include it in the next benchmarking paper. Any opinions expressed are mine and not anyone else's. I'm very much working in the medium data space today rather than the big data space. So data big enough that you can't just look at it and see what's going on, but sort of small enough that you can probably work with it on your server or on your desktop rather than needing your Hadoop clusters. We do a lot of cluster computing and graphics computing at Taylor Fry, but it's too hard for today, I think. And the other comment is that Taylor Fry, to my knowledge, has never received a commission from a software company. So for all the other biases in this presentation, hopefully that's not one of them. All right, so why do we benchmark software? So it can be argued that if you have an analyst and you have a specific problem, the software is irrelevant, so the analyst will be able to use whatever software is available to him or her and get to the right answer. However, I do think that software does affect intrinsically how we do our work day to day. So if the software we have that we use routinely has procedure A and not procedure B, then we'll tend to use procedure A, even if it's not the easiest thing, or, sorry, even if it's not the best thing to do necessarily. It also affects the way we think about data. So if you model with SAS for a long time, for instance, you see the world in two-dimensional form, where columns are always variables and rows are always observations. And it's important sort of to recognise that that's just a paradigm that you've adopted. And so the way you structure your code and your thinking will actually evolve to work effectively with that. And that's not necessarily the most effective way for a given problem. It also fundamentally affects efficiency. So the time it takes to program code and to type stuff up will vary by software. The time it takes to run stuff will affect by software. The degree to which you can automate stuff so you don't have to babysit it all day will also vary by software. So those are all, I think, relevant considerations. There's a cost, like a physical monetary cost there as well, which is obviously a consideration. And then finally, on that slide, you can see that there's a question about what best matches the skill set that you have available to you. So you can't just impose, tell everyone they have to program in C++ and compile their own software if that's not the skill set of your actuarial team. So what should we benchmark? And so there are lots of things that an insurance company does. I'm very much focusing on the tasks that I think an actuarial team typically does, so I'm not thinking about claims management or some of those other functions. And I've divided the world into three buckets, as you can see there, which characterise most of the things I do day to day. Hopefully they characterise some of the things you do day to day. And again, if I've missed your bucket that you do, let me know at the end of the presentation. So the three buckets I'm going to talk about today are data management, so sort of reading data, cleaning it up, processing it, merging, summarising, and basically getting stuff ready for doing whatever analysis you want to do. Generalized linear models is the second bucket, and so that's quite a common tool now for pricing, demand modeling, and to increasingly greater extent perhaps reserving as well. So that almost forms a core part of the general insurance practice, I think, these days, in our office anyway. And then I've got sort of a vague third bucket for statistics and analytics capability. So in situations where you need a fast predictive model, or you want to generate insights quickly or do a segmentation or find outliers and so forth, often you want more advanced statistical tools than just a generalized linear model, and so I'll sort of talk about those as well. And the types of things I'll be thinking about are speed, how easy it is to use, the features, etc. So hopefully there aren't too many people thinking, can't I just use Excel? But Excel is wonderful software, and there's no doubt you can trick it into doing all sorts of things. However, the longer you go with it and the more sophisticated the analysis you need to do, you do come across some headwinds, and for that reason, it's probably worth thinking about taking the next step. So Excel doesn't scale particularly well with larger data sets. The repeatability of analysis is a little bit trickier, so if you want to do a similar analysis on new data sets, you sort of have to create sheets and copy formulas, and no doubt you'll make a mistake, or I'll make a mistake. And the longer you use Excel, the more likely it is that somebody will create a pivot table. And some people love them, but not me. So the next question is it possible to benchmark fairly? And the answer is, of course not. So I'm good at software that I use every day, and so I'll have a bias towards that. The hardware that I have is different to the hardware that you have, and that will affect all sorts of considerations. There are genuinely different tastes. So people like working with command lines and not being able to see the data easily, whereas that offends other people. And jobs vary between offices and between teams. So it's not possible to benchmark fairly, but it's worth talking about software, and we'll try and benchmark anyway, so we'll see how we go. So there's my computer in not-so-technicolor glory. So all the benchmarks, speed benchmarks I present today, were run on a desktop. It's 3 or 4 years old now. Intel haven't invested a lot in desktop computers improvements, so it seems to still be fairly fast compared with today's computers. It's standardish but quite nice. The only thing I'll point out is it's got a solid state drive, and that's quite relevant for software that uses hard drive fairly intensively like SAS, so it reads and writes a lot faster, and that will affect some of the outcomes. The next question is, what software should we benchmark? And this starts the really, really boring bit of the presentation where I give a brief description of a bunch of different software options. A lot of them will be very familiar to the people in this room, some of them less so, so I'll spend a little bit of time. My hope is that the slides will go up, and there's a lot of detail in some of these slides, so you will be able to look at that at your leisure if I do rush through a little bit. So again, I've sort of looked at a bunch of different software options in those three buckets, data management, generalized linear models, and more general analytics capability. So I'm going to briefly run through now. So SAS is probably the market leader in some ways. Its secret sauce is it scales effectively to large data sets. And the reason why it can do that is because it's hard drive-based rather than RAM-based. So if you've got a data set bigger than the amount of RAM you have on your computer, it can still handle that by reading in chunks at a time, whereas a lot of other software will just die if you try and read in a data set that's bigger than your RAM. Speaking as someone whose computer dies fairly regularly, that's always an unhelpful outcome. So they are developing fairly actively, so they're sort of developing a few things, and I'll talk a little bit about multi-core computation with SAS throughout the presentation. Base SAS doesn't have much analytics capability out of the bag, so I'll talk about Enterprise Miner in that third bucket today. So it is enterprise grade, fairly well supported, not particularly affordable, and the comment seems to be from clients that they are sometimes frustrated by the affordability of SAS. The next one I'll talk about is World Programming System. So if you haven't heard of it, it's because I haven't seen it a lot in Australia. It was developed in Europe and is actually basically a clone for SAS. So the idea is you can sort of have a SAS data set, have your same SAS code, run it, and you'll get exactly the same output as you will in SAS. SAS was somewhat upset and tried to sue... tried to sue World Programming System fairly heavily, and the EU Court of Justice actually sort of ended up taking the case and found in favour of World Programming System, so they are legitimate in that sense. World Programming System was in fact told, though, that they shouldn't directly link their customers to SAS's help files when they had questions. The other comment is that the interface that you get with WPS is actually a little bit nicer than SAS's, in my opinion. So it's designed sort of as a cheaper option. The main thing I should say about it is that the data step routines run very well. However, SAS, by default, comes with about 200 procedures, and WPS has sort of been developing those slowly, so they're only sort of 20 to 30% of the way there. And in particular, there's no GLM procedure, which is obviously relevant to our second bucket. The next thing is R, and R is probably the most popular statistics package in the world nowadays. Certainly that's true in academia, where it's sort of very, very widespread, but it seems to be increasingly so in business as well. So it's open source and free software, so you can just go download it and start running it straight away. It's actually quite a nice language to program in as well. So you can usually sort of do something in about a quarter of the characters as you would do in SAS code, for instance. The package functionality means that every procedure that's ever been invented in statistics is probably implemented in R first. And so there's sort of a long list of packages, and you just select whatever you want to download on a given day. And it seems to be increasingly popular in non-academic settings. It sort of starts... It started as a homebrew sort of academic enterprise, and for that reason there are people who have come up with variants of R to sort of mould it into business. So I'll talk about these a little bit briefly. One of the more interesting ones is Revolution Analytics, and they market themselves as R for Business. So they've actually sort of written some new procedures that sit on top of R, one that handles big data sets a little bit better, so they can be hard drive based rather than R, which is usually RAM based. And they've also rewritten the GLM package, and I'll show results for those. TIBCO is a software company. I think they're most famous for Spotfire visualization software, but they've got a version of R that you can download for free as well, and that's interesting because it's multi-core, whereas R by default is not multi-core, so it's actually a little bit faster if speed is important to you. And the other comment is that you can always do it yourself. So if you're happy compiling junk and trying to figure out the exact way to optimize your problem, so you can spend 5 days making sure your problem runs in 30 minutes instead of 35 minutes, you can do it yourself. And I'll talk about that a little bit as well. So also bench tested today, SPSS. So that's a piece of software now owned by IBM. And it's quite a popular statistics package, particularly in the softer sciences, health and social sciences, marketing. And its main claim to fame is that it's got a very much a point-and-click interface. So if you want to fit a neural net or support vector machine and you don't know much about it, then there will be an interface that sort of shows you the main things you have to set. And so there are some advantages, obviously, to that. It's enterprise-grade, so it's supported by IBM. It's not particularly cheap, has been my experience as well. So it's not something you switch to as a cost-saving alternative to SAS, I think. But tell me otherwise if you've had different experiences. So they're the main statistics packages that I've been talking about. There are a couple of other nods that I've included here just for kicks. One is a nod to the IT crowd. They'll say, if you're managing data, why aren't you using a database? So I've included one example of a database language, SQL. And you can do all your merging and cleaning, et cetera, in an SQL database. And so I'll sort of talk about how you can do that. Databases have a slightly different paradigm to what actuaries are usually used to. It's all about storage efficiency, so it's sort of a mortal sin to have data duplicated in your database. So there is a slightly different paradigm to learn there, and you do have to worry a bit more about your hardware when you're running those things. And we have a nod to computer science as well, so why aren't you just doing this in a low-level computer language? So I've chosen Python as one of the more accessible computer languages. So it's fairly easy to program in and to run relative to other computer program languages. That's not the same thing as saying that it's easy. It's a very popular language, and it's quite broad in the sense, a bit like R, that it has lots of packages you can use. And so I picked a couple, Pandas for data management and StatsMod for GLM, just to see how they went. I'll also talk about Emblem. So it's one of the leading point-and-click software tools for fitting GLMs in insurance. So it's sort of a one-trick pony in the sense that it does GLMs, and it has a lot of features for doing them in an interactive way. And that comes from Towers Watson. So very much custom purpose software. And I'll talk about that a little bit as well. And Salford Systems software is a clear familiarity bias. This is one thing we do use in the Taylor Fry office. And they generate sort of non-parametric data mining algorithms. And so I'll talk about them a little bit in the analytics bucket at the end. So you've now survived the boring bit of the presentation. So well done. Hopefully it gets better after this. So the first bucket was data management. So basically, can you read in your data? Can you transform it? Can you merge it, sort, summarize, export, all those sorts of things? So I created an obstacle course for a data set. So I think there are sort of 100 columns and different numbers of rows just to see how it scales. And the obstacle course just basically did a bunch of those basic things. And I tested how quickly each of our options could run them. So I've got a slide here of those results. So I've got the chart shown two ways. The chart on the left is the overall speed results, and this is for 5 million rows and how many seconds it took to run. One of the things that came through quite strongly, actually, that one of the main bottlenecks for a lot of these software is that the time it takes to get data in and to get it out again. So just reading a CSV takes a very long time in R, for instance. For that reason, I've also included the same chart, but with a couple of bars removed. So the dark blue bar is the time to read in, and the pink bar is the time to export at the end of the obstacle course, and that changes the results a little bit. So you can see on the main chart on the left that SAS and WPS do quite well and are actually quite close. So WPS consistently seems to be about sort of 20% slower for data processing, which is not nothing, but not too bad. Python is the other one that is very quick. And Python is a RAM-based language, and it seems to be the only one of the options that I tested actually gives you full value for that RAM sort of usage compared to hard drive basis. So once you sort of delete the import-export time, Python actually runs very, very quick. And the coding was not too hard either, so it actually is perhaps an interesting option then for data management. On the less happy side of things, you can see that SQL took quite a long time to run, and that was a little bit surprising to me because I would have assumed that IT people had solved all these problems. But it turns out that the types of things SQL does quickly is a little bit different to the types of things I asked it to do in the obstacle course. So sorting data sets is not something that SQL necessarily has in its DNA, for instance. SPS was fairly slow, and it was the only one that actually couldn't do one of the obstacles and had to sort of skirt around it. And that was one of the trickier merges where you're sort of merging intermediate ranges, and I'll bore you about it at the end if you're interested. But so it had the least flexibility in its sort of command line data manipulation. R and Revolution Analytics were relatively slow. Revolution Analytics came out the slowest for their hard drive-based data sets. It's worth pointing out that you can do anything in R, you can still do that in Revolution Analytics. So I've been a little bit cheeky by not giving them a big line rather than giving them the same line as R, but I was genuinely interested in what their new hard drive-based data sets did in terms of speed, which turned out to be not much. So here's the bar chart turned into a line chart, because more charts are good. So basically it shows the same results. The 5 million is sort of towards the right-hand side of that chart, and it just shows how the data set scales for different numbers of observations. And I've excluded the import-export time, so it's sort of directly comparable to the chart on the right. So Python does very, very well. SAS and WPS do very, very well. Revolution Analytics and SPSS are towards the laggard end in terms of speed. So this is a log-log scale, so the difference between grid lines and an order of magnitude. So that's a big deal if you're processing data fairly regularly. So here's sort of a vague overall summary. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Again, I hope to post the slides if it's of interest to you. So sort of SAS and WPS came out quite well, both in terms of their speed and hardware efficiency. I personally sort of detest the coding syntax of SAS, so I marked them down on that. Whereas I enjoy programming in R and Python. Not that I've done a lot of Python programming before. SQL doesn't seem like a very good alternative unless there's some other reason to motivate you to want to use that in terms of its speed and its flexibility. And I think that's all I have to say there. SPS is probably the least flexible in terms of its speed and programmability, so it's probably not what you'd want to jump to necessarily in the data management space. So I think that is about it for that, which moves us on to generalized linear models in our second bucket. So again, I've tested speed of programs, and that's something that's particularly important to me because I fit a lot of GLMs, and I generally do so in an iterative way, so I'll sort of fit a model and decide I want to modify it a little bit and fit a model again. And when you're doing that, speed is actually quite relevant because if it takes too long, then the temptation just to open up SMH and read an article while you're waiting for it grows too strong, and there lies madness. So I created a benchmark data set that had about 40 parameters, and they were a mix of continuous and categorical, and the number of rows there varied from 50,000 to the 10 million. And I tested a range of distributions. If you haven't seen the Tweedy, it's a nice one. It sort of it covers up a lot of other errors. This isn't a technical talk about GLMs, so I benchmarked a bunch of them, and here are the results. So again, it's a log-log scale, so a difference in grid line is an order of magnitude, so a factor of 10, which is significant. Again, SPSS, for all its good qualities in sort of being accessible to newer users, is actually very, very slow in their GLM package, and they were the slowest. I've got two lines there for SAS. So SAS GenMod, Proc GenMod, has for a long time been the default GLM fitter in SAS. As of a year or so ago, newer versions of SAS has also shipped with HP Gen Select, which is a multi-core version of a GLM fitting procedure, and it genuinely performs a lot faster. And so you can see half an order of magnitude improvement compared to SAS GenMod. And it's in a way, probably the leader at the moment in terms of speed, at least on this rough benchmark. So that was quite an interesting result. For all that, so I should point out that a couple of caveats with HP Gen Select is that they ditch a bunch of diagnostics that are potentially useful. So I don't know whether they're trying to prove that you can't have everything or just trying to sort of annoy you, but it annoys me a little bit. In terms of fitting speed, R performs relatively well, but sort of similar to Proc GenMod, but doesn't scale as well. So you can see the fact that R line has ended indicates that it topped out the RAM on my computer, which was 12 gigs, and gave up beyond that. And that was true of Python and SPS as well, so they sort of didn't handle the RAM particularly effectively once you got beyond 2 million rows or so there.
Did you use a GLM package in Python?
Yes, so as a stats mod package that had a GLM function within that. Presumably, if you were going to be super cool, you'd program it up yourself. I'm not good enough to do that. So the other thing I'll talk about on this chart is that there are two lines for emblem, a lower and an upper line, bold and dotted. The lower line is the time when you've got the data in emblem and you just want to fit. And so the time it takes to do a fit is what that black line represents. Emblem has a bunch of tricks to make it work faster, and one of those tricks is you have to sort of add a layer of pre-processing to get your data into it. And that pre-processing can actually take quite a significant amount of time. So the dotted line at the top is actually the time it takes to fit an emblem model when you add together the pre-processing and the fit time. So if you've got a specific model you want to do and you know exactly what you want to fit, the dotted line is probably a little bit more indicative of what time it'll take, whereas if you want to do more interactive and lots of refits, you're more towards the black line. So it's very efficient software and scales quite well. Interestingly, that's the only case where the line seems to have a slightly different gradient to everyone else, so it sort of scales a little bit better as the number of observations grow. You'll notice that on this chart I've only got one line for R, and I talked earlier about how there are different variants of R, and so I've included those on a separate chart here. So the basic R is the blue line, which is the slowest. Revolution Analytics, I said, had a rewritten GLM package, and when you use that, it does scale a bit more effectively, and for very large data sets starts to approach HPGen Select. The TIBCO version of R, sort of you get your 2x speed improvement or whatever it is, compared to base R, so that's a useful thing. And interestingly, I spent a little bit of time sort of recompiling my linear algebra packages and downloading a new GLM package and fiddling with stuff, and I ended up getting something that worked quite well in a multi-core sense. And once that got up and running, it was actually quite comparable to HPGen Select, so, which suggests if you've got lots of time to tinker, you can actually get good results with R, but it's obviously not as easy out of the box. So again, I've got a summary slide of my observations. So there are a number of packages which are now quite fast. So Emblem is quite fast. SAS with HPGen Select is quite fast. And Revolution Analytics seems to be quite good. And a lot of those scale well to big data sets as well, with R being the one that struggles a little bit with its RAM usage. In terms of ease to use, I think only Emblem has a nice sort of point-and-click interface by default, and that's probably in its favour. Everything else, you sort of have to build functionality around the core package. And so that's something very doable, but sort of represents an extra step. I don't know whether I had any other comments. Yeah, so I think that's about it in terms of generalised linear models. If you do have questions, please do ask at the end. So that sort of brings us to analytics functionality. So these are the vague third bucket, where you might want to do analyses that fit outside of just data analysis or a generalised linear model. So a generalised linear model is good in the sense that it's a handcrafted tool which gives you good interpretability, good control, good smoothness, etc. However, sometimes you don't need that. So you might need to do something quickly, just a quick predictive model. You might have lots and lots of predictive variables, in which case a GLM will be hard work. You might want to generate other types of insights, like a segmentation, or figure out what variables are important or not important. Or you just might need to be super, super accurate, and you don't care how complex or confusing your model is. So the analytics bucket is trying to sort of fulfill some of those needs. And now there are millions of analytics procedures. If you've ever picked up a stats journal, no doubt there'll be another 10 new ones that no one will ever use in that. So I say that because I write these things for stats journals and no one ever uses them. And I'm not bitter. So sort of one good baseline is a decision tree. So a lot of you would have seen a decision tree, which is built into most of the options that I've looked at in the benchmarking. And the idea with a decision tree is it's got a simple set of rules, as you can see on the right, that basically sort of subdivides your observations into a series of terminal nodes or buckets at the bottom. So is the claim labeled severe? If no, go this way. If yes, go that way. And you sort of drop observations down the tree. I've never understood why trees tend to be presented from the top down rather than the bottom up. There was obviously a failed botanist working in a stats department at some point. So I tested that for sort of speed and functionality for a few different procedures, so SAS Enterprise Minor, SPSS, Salford and R. Looked at sort of what was included. And I guess most of the comments here are veering towards the qualitative than just raw speed. So decision trees tend to run very fast. So all of the options were pretty satisfactory in terms of what you get out of them. You could use any of those pieces of software and get good decision trees and get a good segmentation and go to lunch. That was quite interesting, and it's showing that, there is at least some sort of convergence in functionality, at least with something like a decision tree. Of the options listed there, R was perhaps the least easy to sort of interact with. You sort of had to work quite hard to figure out exactly what the splits were and sort of to output that into something you can easily implement. The others were all quite good. Ooh, that's my bill. In terms of other functionality, it's very much a case of you deciding what types of tools you need to do, in what types of tools you need for the things you need to do within the office. So here's a rough sort of feature comparison for some of those things. My favourite analytics procedure is boosting with trees, in the middle-ish of the table. Salford Systems and R both have very good implementations of those. So that tends to be where I would sort of focus my use, just because I quite like that procedure. However, if you do like the neural networks or the SVMs or the hierarchical clustering, there are other options out there. And the only other comment that you can see there is that base SAS doesn't really give you good coverage of analytics tools, and obviously that's to encourage you to invest in Enterprise Miner. So I don't think I've got a lot else to say besides that. Salford Systems offerings are quite good in the sense that they're quite sort of quick and interactive and so forth, and that tends to be, I think, why we use them in the office. And the other comment that comes there is that having some R capability is very useful, because if you do need to do a new procedure, chances are you can do it for free in R and then decide whether you want to get more serious after that. So there's a final slide here just to summarise. So SAS, like, for all its faults, does seem to do the job in a large number of buckets there. WPS seems to be an interesting alternative for data management. R seems to be on the rise, sort of interesting to see to what extent that continues in the business community as well as academic. I think there's probably a little bit of room in the market for improvements in software. Whether that happens or not is not anything to do with me. And the other comment is that if you really wanted to spend $0 on software, you probably could nowadays. So you could use R, you could use Python, you could use free versions of SQL and probably sort of get away with it. So thank you very much. Hopefully we've got a few minutes left for questions.
Thank you, Hugh. I've got a question for you. So yesterday and today we've heard a lot about big data. Which of these softwares, on balance, if you consider all the functions of the software, which of these softwares handle large volumes of data most efficiently?
Most of the benchmarks are very much medium data rather than big data. So I think a lot of the software companies are sort of building new products, in a sense, to deal with the big data issue. I'm not sure this is doing something. So SAS sort of have these new cluster systems that they want to encourage people to use, and that scales to very large data sets. So that's, again, a sort of a new piece of software that they can market and sell. Revolution Analytics is designed to work with things like Hadoop, and I forget what the others, like, certainly if you want to homebrew something with Python or whatever else, you can distribute that amongst computers too.
Anyone has any questions?
One thing that you haven't touched on is customer support. Do you have any comments on whether you've had experience with all of them or not, experience you have had with the various packages?
In terms of, I can't use my program and I need to talk to someone about it. I've dealt with SAS in the past and they've been fine. I've dealt with Salford in the past and they've been fine. I've dealt with SBSS in the past and they've been fine, except they couldn't solve my problem. And there's genuine value in having that support compared to R, where you've got no support besides the internet. And R turns out to be the stupidest possible name for a piece of software when you're trying to Google for things on the internet.
Okay, out of interest, are there any new pieces of software on the horizon?
I've heard rumours of a couple of potential new GLM packages. Whether they materialise or not is sort of there's always a vaporware question out there. So if that does happen, that'll be interesting, and that'll give me something to do next week. Apart from that, I think in terms of data management, the main building blocks aren't going to change. So I think we're sort of living in a world of CSVs and SQL databases and SAS data sets. And I don't think there's going to be necessarily a new data management game changer, but happy to be wrong.
All right.
How do you perceive that rising to the challenge of WPS, how they're going to manage that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So every time you get competition, what you tend to see then is more innovation. And SAS seem to be innovating quite hard, and there are probably reasons why it can afford to do so. So certainly sort of they're moving into the big data space, which is effective, but they're also still improving some of the stuff that you use on medium data as well. So to the extent that happens, that's a really good thing.
What do you think about the value of the fact that lots of people use SAS, so you know, when you train up new staff, hire new staff, then you've got those skills compared to some of the other software you mentioned people may not be as familiar with all the time, and you feel like actually you're going to learn like that anyway?
Yeah, good question. I have a couple of points in there that I didn't sort of bring out in the presentation, that is a genuine cost. So if it takes 14 days to train your staff rather than sort of 42 days, that's a big issue. The fact that people are comfortable with SAS sort of means that or WPS is often a good choice. Increasingly, people coming out of university will have had experience with R as well. So I think that's the other sort of thing, that don't assume there's no R experience in the office. And I think in our office, we've never hired on the basis of knowing R, but there's at least four or five people who know it quite well. So.
Okay, please join me in thanking Hugh.